Our scripture reading today is from Mark chapter 10. All right. They came to Jericho. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
Thank you, Heather. This story begins in darkness. It begins in emptiness. It begins in raw need. And as such, this son of honor, which is what Bartimaeus means, son of honor, he offers us a portrait of faith. And he tells us or shows us what faith looks like. Faith is needy. Faith is eager. Faith is assertive. Faith is hopeful. Faith is impetuous. It's raw. It's got some personality to it. It's relational. Faith in something and faith begins something. Faith is about giving and doing for God what we cannot do for ourselves, allowing God to be God in our lives, and through some kind of dumbstruck gratitude to do what we can with what we have, for it comes to us from the Holy One. Most of all, faith leads us to places that we just maybe we wouldn't go otherwise, but because of faith, we persist. Now, as usual, the language of God's gospel in the book of Mark, it's lean, Fairview. It's muscular. Once again, Mark cuts to the heart of the matter. As we know from our studies of the book of Mark in the past, there are no frills, there's no fuss, there's no fat. He gets straight to the issue. The energy of Mark's text, it puts us right to shame, those of us who call ourselves careful Christians who bite our tongue and speak few words. Mark is clear. Listen to him describe Bartimaeus. He begs. He shouts. He shouts even louder. He jumps up. He throws off. And immediately, he follows. He follows this crazy Jesus, perhaps all the way to the cross. There is nothing cool or calm about Bartimaeus. There is nothing proper or proud or pious. There is no mirage of self-sufficiency to distance him from Jesus. There is just uppity, persistent, honest need, and in offering that need assertively and eagerly to Jesus, Bartimaeus finds purpose. He finds faith. He finds new life. Now, before we wax too eloquently about this awesome and miraculous healing story in the book of Mark, let's be abundantly clear about what this text is also saying. You see, to see with the healing power of Jesus' touch is to see a real world. This world, a world of pain, a world of sin, and absolutely a world of evil. It is to see not only the hundreds and hundreds of American soldiers who die in recent years, but also the estimated thousands of soldiers and citizens who are killed by bombs and bombs all around. It is to see not only the thousands of victims who are slaughtered by terrorism both home and abroad, it is also to see the 40,000 children who just died yesterday of that amazingly terrible, terrible terrorism known as hunger. You see, to see with the new eyes of Bartimaeus is to see all the beauty and all the wonder and all the grace of God's beautiful and brilliant creation. But at the same time, Fairview, it is to see the cruelty and the greed and the prejudice that God's own children sometimes perpetuate in God's holy name. Is there an amen in this house?
Amen.
But listen to this text. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly. And thank God that Mark included that detail in the text. You see, literally, Bartimaeus raised his voice so that the authority, the one in power, this Jesus, would hear and respond. Bartimaeus wouldn't be told to shut up. You see, I like this guy, Bartimaeus. He raises some very interesting and provocative questions for us. But even more than that, I love his voice. What would you do if you couldn't fail? What would you endeavor, dare, or try? What mission would you attempt? What venture would you risk? What great deed would you undertake? I love these kinds of questions because they stimulate our thinking. They stretch our vision. They stir our imagination. But as much as I love these questions, Fairview, I think they're the wrong questions. Because there will be failure. There just will. And if we only dream of doing things that we can accomplish without failure, then we're going to be sorely disappointed or never try. So given the story of Bartimaeus, I want to pose another question. One that I hope and believe in my spiritual imagination is more realistic and more faithful. What would you do if you knew you might fail and it didn't matter? I don't mean didn't matter in the sense that there would be no cost or that it would be difficult or disappointing. No, no, no. I mean, what would you try if the attempt itself was worth it, whether you succeeded or not? Or even more, what would you risk if the ultimate outcome was guaranteed, even if your immediate venture failed? Would you, like Bartimaeus in our reading, would you shout out for justice and healing, even though the people cried around and tried to shush him into silence? I wonder, could it be that Bartimaeus was so used to failure and disappointment, Sarah, that he saw no reason not to try just one more time? Or perhaps faithfulness itself is defined by treating God enough to dare the impossible, to dream the impossible. Perhaps that's what faith is. But whatever the case, would that be your cry for healing? Or maybe your shout would be for justice or peace or equality, those ideals that we deem so important in our theology and in this community. Or maybe you would volunteer at a food pantry or tutor a child who needs help with their math. Or care for someone who is severely disabled. Or befriend a kid who everyone says isn't cool. Or visit an elder most have forgotten. Or reach out to someone overwhelmed by grief, so overwhelmed that you don't even know the words to say. One of my favorite scenes in the movie Apollo 13 is of the flight director, Gene Kranz. And he says those bold and proud words, you know them, failure is not an option. But as inspiring as those words are, I believe we know the truth. And we know what's really more truer even than that. Failure is regularly the option. More to the point, if you're going to ask anything that matters, not failing is not an option. Risk, you see, entails failure. Change entails failure. Creativity and innovation and experimentation all entail failure. And if we forget that, if we choose to ignore that painful truth, then we will either never try anything that matters, or we'll just end up really disappointed. So if we accept that faith in an awesome God is something that leads to new life with new possibilities, that it challenges us and provides never-before-experienced opportunities, while making honest space for the simple truth that sometimes we may fail? What is our next move? What are we to do? What will we do with this truth about God and God's creation, this juxtaposing revelation that we ought to move forward even if we know we may not succeed immediately? Enter our friend Bartimaeus one more time. Bartimaeus shouts out with a loud clarion call to us this morning. Listen to those words one more time. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly. There is power in that. There's a story there. At the end of the day, Fairview, there is only so much we can take. There is only so many times that someone can say, "Be quiet, Bartimaeus," before you say, "No, I cannot be quiet. I will not be silenced." And that's something that I dare to try. You may try to silence me. You may try to shut me up, but I will not be quiet. Bartimaeus asks us the question today, what is your breaking point? Bartimaeus raises the question for us so soundly and so rightly today. What is your threshold? How far will you go? When will you find yourself standing with Bartimaeus for the sake of Bartimaeus? I don't hear an amen on that this morning. When do we choose to come alongside another so that silence can be broken, so that truth can be told? When can we confess the Lord has done great things? The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced even when others cannot. When have you needed to utter some words to someone because you can't do it alone, but those words must be said either way for yourself or for someone else? Save, O Lord, your people. Save your people today. I don't know about you, Fairview, but I'm growing weary of biting my tongue. Truth must be spoken. Truth must be declared. If we are to be the beacon of light to which we are called today, that truth must be shared. Amen in this house. I'm getting tired of self-censoring. That's why I love this church so much, because we press the envelope. We push forward and we try so hard to not be shackled and downtrodden by the status quo. I am impatient with this compulsion, with this coercion, with this strong desire to pander and to perpetuate systems that exclude people and keep them away from their wholeness and their healing in life. I'm less than pleased when I use my own mistakes and my own excuses that keep me from moving forward and doing good things. I'm tired of falling back on doctrine, and I'm tired of feeling that I have to become beholden to some kind of prescribed dogmatic default, and if I move away from that default, I'll somehow die. I'm so tired of this understanding that I can be in and of myself and for no one else. Amen in this house. I am certain that there are just some acceptable moral things that just must be declared and must be shared because it is right and it is of God. Amen. Can I preach today, Fairview? Can I preach? I know there is only so much we can say. I'm not naive today. Let's be clear about this. There are things you cannot say. There are things you wish you could say. You see, this is the truth of being a Christian, because we got to be mindful of who we are and where we are and what must be said, so that when the truth is spoken, it is not only heard but received and acted upon. You see, to be a mindful Christian, it's a hard place to be. It is a hard place to work. It is a hard place to live. It seems that you're always walking that very fine line, that line between truth telling and putting your hand over your mouth, that line between what you want to say, Fairview, and what you have to say, that line between knowing when the truth can be told and when the truth just can't be heard. Yet we are called to proclaim the truth. We are called to share God's love and God's grace in this world when the truth will be rejected. We may not succeed in that moment, but that shoot of hope and that shoot of grace goes up into the universe that bends towards righteousness. And somehow, in God's own story of love and grace, good things happen. We are called to preach the truth when no one wants to hear it. We are called to call out when those who need can cry, but they cannot cry. We are there for them. I don't know the truth that you need to speak in your own life. I don't know the truth that needs to be declared so that you can have wholeness, wholeness in your family and wholeness in your job situations and wholeness in your life of you and your children or for you and your purpose and your life. But I do believe this, that you know what must be done and you know what must be spoken. You know what the Spirit is moving you to do today. And if it is not done, you are setting yourself up for disappointment. But I declare today that in the Spirit of God and with the love of Jesus, you can be that prophet in your life and in your home and in your situation. You can bring that love and grace that is so needed. I don't know the persons who need to hear you say, it's okay, God loves you, Jesus have mercy on me. But those words must be spoken, and you know who I'm talking about today, but you got to move forward. It must be done so that love can show forth and God's grace can have reign. But I do know a Jesus who would want us to say, take heart, get up. He is calling you over and over and over and over again. No one's saying amen in this room, but I'm going to still preach anyway. If there was ever a time for bold witness, a need for us to stand up for ourselves and for those around us, this is that time. If there was ever a need for a bold proclamation like Bartimaeus did in the book of Mark, when despite the people telling him to shut up, he kept talking, he kept shouting, he kept proclaiming until he was heard by power. I don't know about you, but if there was ever a time for bold statements of faith, Fairview, this is that time. This is that space. This is the need that we ought to share. The Gospel of Mark declares it. Mark's Jesus proclaims it, and we ought to proclaim it and confirm it with our faith today. Hallelujah in the house. Because entry into the city of Jerusalem is just around the corner for Jesus, and he's got no time for fakery, and he's got no time for sham mockery, and he's got no time for all this wishy-washy work. He's looking for faith-filled people who will walk with him, who will toil with him, who will work with him, who will proclaim with him, who will prophesy with him, who will move with him in a world that is so desperately in need of his love. Is there an amen in this room as we think about God's grace in our lives? Because the time is now, the time is now that we move away from safe speech and that we move away from all those secure statements that make no sense. It is time for us to move forward, to let this light shine so that this community can be brought higher and higher into God's love. They don't have to agree with us all the time. Sometimes they'll call us anything but children of God. But sometimes the things that we do, they do move higher. They do move to a higher plane so that we can show the urgency, the tone, the language that is needed to bring God's people into hope. They will have a sense of the passion. They will have a sense of the immediacy. They will have a sense of the resolve, and somehow good things will happen. Hallelujah in the house. No more silence. No more silence. We believe in a God who loves us and forgives us, and we ought to trust in that, and we ought to move forward in that, and we ought to trust this grace that we say, that we sing and praise about all this time. If we really believe in that, then let this no more silence get all into your soul. God accepts us for all that we are and all that we do and where we're at. And if we believe that, then let's let this light shine. Let's let this no more silence slogan have its way in our being. God's love fills us with the fullness of life. God's love enables us to experience this abundant life in all manner of ways that are truly beyond our expectations. That's why we can stand with Bartimaeus today. That's why we can be his partner and his neighbor in justice today and declare those words. No more silence. No more silence, my friends. If you believe that every human being is made into the image of God, if you believe that every individual person represented here today is a child of God, if you believe that loving your neighbor as you love yourself is so much more beautiful and follows directly after our God, and if you believe that all human beings are all brothers and sisters in God's heart, then we've got work to do. We've got work to do, Fairview Community Church. We've got work to do. No more silence. Bartimaeus asks us, what's our next move? Where will we carry this light? What's our next destination? What's our next passion? Don't stop. Keep pushing. Speak to power. The power will hear. The power must hear. No more silence. God will transform our lives. God will transform this community. God will transform this world beyond our greatest dreams and our fondest hopes. Through us, racial and societal healing will be realized, hallelujah, in this house. Children will receive the options they need so they can have a bright future. And teenagers who have no mentors will find the hope and grace they need in their experiences. And adults who can't find a job, praise God, will get the skills they need so they can have a future for themselves and for their families. I know this preaching is right. You don't have to tell me, but I'll keep saying it anyway. We've got to understand today that we serve a God that is graceful and able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And all we need to do is to live and abide by those words, no more silence, no more silence. Hallelujah to God today. Such knowledge gives me strength. It ought to give us faith. It ought to give us hope to keep going, to endure, and to work with anticipation. No more silence, with hope and determination, patience and expectation. We can pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give God some praise in this house today. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on up, singers. Come on up. Come on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.